Pacers fans, I'm here to tell you about one of the great sponsors of the Locked On Pacers podcast, and that is Draft. Draft is a great fantasy draft style betting app. Unlike FanDuel or DraftKings, where you're in this huge league where people have hundreds of teams and there's algorithms and computers running everything and your chances of winning are so low, Draft is a simple way where you can play with friends, people you know, people you don't know, but a group of people where you put some money down, usually between $3, $10, sometimes there's bigger leagues, and you basically do a fantasy-style draft for that day. You pick the players you want, and then you get the team that you want. It's great. It's easy to do. If you use the promo code LOPACERS, you can get a $3 entry fee to one game free with your first $10 down. That's a free $3 entry. This is great. Tony and I have been doing this for about a few, probably going on 3 or 4 months now. Draft is a great way to do fantasy betting. It's way better than those other sites. So you should use Draft today and use the promo code LOPACERS.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to today's Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday, then we are less than 24 hours from the NBA trade deadline. One of my articles on IndyCornrows.com has just posted with my view on what the Pacers should do. Spoiler, listen to Sunday or Monday's podcast. You'll know that I don't think there's any moves that Pacers can really make, but I am really excited about Glenn Robinson returning to this team because he is exactly what they need right now in a three-point shooting and defense-oriented small forward. But I'm not here to talk about the trade deadline. We'll see what happens. You know, if a trade happens, we'll do an emergency podcast. But if nothing happens, you'll just keep hearing from me and Tony on our normal schedule. I'm here actually today to basically preview the Pacers matchup against the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans on Wednesday and hit a couple of controversial topics in Pacers land. The Pacers take on the Pelicans Wednesday night. I believe it's an 8 o'clock start because it's in New Orleans, which is on Central Time, but I can check that one real quick. It should be an interesting matchup for the Pacers because they will be without their point guard, their arguably second best player this season, Darren Collison, who had knee surgery on Monday. He'll probably be back after the All-Star break. Probably not going to miss more than 2 to 3 weeks. Hopefully, Victor Oladipo comes back. He had some kind of sickness on Monday. They said by Wednesday shoot-around, they'll let the media know whether he'll play or not. My guess is he probably will. Hopefully, it's not something major. I mean, if he had, like, the flu or some kind of stomach bug, it's probably a couple days, so he'll probably be okay. He'll probably be good, full of IVs and ready to go. There aren't any other major injuries. I think Turner still has a sore knee, but he'll probably list as questionable. And then there's Glenn Robinson, who could play, but I'm expecting him not to play until after the All-Star break. Just an outside view. Who knows? That could all change on the flip of a switch, but right now that's my expectation. But the biggest matchup to watch in this Pelicans game, because Darren Collison is hurt, is Drew Holiday versus whoever the Pacers start at point guard. So on Monday against the Wizards, the Pacers started Corey Joseph, obviously over Darren Collison, who's hurt. There's a chance we could see Joe Young in the starting lineup. We have seen that before when Collison was hurt earlier in the year. I think it was going on about 2 weeks ago. Joe Young started in his place just because I think Nate McMillan wanted to keep the Corey Joseph, Lance Stephenson kind of off-the-bench duo together. Makes sense. Those guys are used to playing each other. It just makes sense. But I expect to see Corey Joseph start just because it's an extended period, not just a one-off like it was that one time Darren Collison missed. So I expect they were going to start Corey Joseph. It's a good little test to see how he does because he could be the future starting point guard of the Indiana Pacers. And because I think he matches up better, like I said, against Drew Holiday, who's having arguably the best season of his career in New Orleans. He's putting up 18 points and 5 assists right now, which is his highest point total in his career. He's getting a lot more playing time or a lot more shots now that Boogie is out. He had 28 points in their Monday loss to the Jazz. I think he took 21 shots in that game. So he's getting more of those. He's getting more opportunities now that Boogie obviously is hurt, which is huge, which means you need a good defending point guard on him, which is what Corey Joseph is. Joe Young, all props to him on Monday. I think he actually played really well for him. He was shooting incredibly well. You saw flashes of the kind of shooter he could be. He was 5 for 8 from three. I mean, he was knocking down a bunch of buckets and really kept the Pacers alive for most of that game. So all props to him. But I think he fits better coming off the bench just because of his scoring and because you can sort of get away if Vic is healthy, playing Vic at point guard on the bench unit sometimes and then playing Lance at point guard on the bench unit sometimes. And I like Kojo in the starting lineup just because of his defense. Another matchup to watch, really, will be the Mirotić and whoever guards him matchup. So, like I said, the Pelicans played the Jazz on Monday and lost by like 24 points, so it wasn't really a close game. But they started Nikola Mirotić, their newly acquired small forward, a guy the Pacers have seen twice already this year, at small forward or at power forward because obviously Boogie's hurt. I think if the Pelicans had traded for Mirotić earlier in the year, he would come off the bench, be their backup power forward, kind of small forward, whatever fits the moment kind of thing. But I think now that Boogie is hurt, he's kind of going to fill the Boogie role, which means you're going to see Davis at center, which is tricky for the Pacers for two reasons. One, it probably – the Mirotić starting forces Miles Turner to guard Anthony Davis instead of Thaddeus Young, because Turner really cannot guard Mirotić because he cannot spend his entire time running around, you know, trying to guard Mirotić on the perimeter, where they're just all they're doing is running off-ball screens and picks for Mirotić, and so that's more of a Thad Young job. And second, when you put Miles Turner on Anthony Davis, you get the issue of if they iso Davis on the perimeter with Turner, you put Turner in a tough position. Turner is, we talked about this before, not a great in-space defender. He's really good around the rim, altering shots, forcing, scaring guards into making bad passes, things like that, but he's not really good if you say, we're going to iso you on the left side or the right side of the court, and we're going to let this one guy go one-on-one against you. He's not great. You know, he can get backed down by guys. You saw what Howard did to him a little bit. Gortat did to him on Monday. We've seen one-on-one centers just kind of back down, Turner, and get buckets. So that's going to be an issue to watch because there's not a better player in this league, at least center-wise, that can get the ball in the perimeter and score like Anthony Davis. There are a few guys, Anthony Davis's size, that can really score at a volume that he can score at. I mean, the only other one mine really is Boogie Cousins, maybe, and obviously he's hurt. It just aren't a lot of guys that are 7 feet tall. Towns is another one that are 7 feet tall that can score at will, but Davis can do it a bunch of ways. And Davis is not a prolific three-point shooter, but I imagine he'll probably take between 4 to 6 threes with Turner guarding him because he'll more space than he usually does. But for the Pacers to win, he's going to have to come on the bench, particularly Domantas Sabonis and Lance Stephenson. The Pelicans start off coming off like the first guy off the bench center wise is Cheick Diallo or Emeka Okafor. Emeka Okafor wasn't even playing in the NBA until like last week or not. I mean, Monday really was when I think he first got his first run. He signed a 10-day contract sometime last week. So Sabonis should have a chance to really exploit that. Also, Stephenson has to keep carrying this bench at times, especially with Collison out and Joseph in the starting lineup. It's really going to be on Stephenson's hands to be the point guard, kind of facilitate and create shots. You know, he did a decent job of it on Monday against the Wizards, which I give him props for even actually being in that game after missing their two best offensive players. They only lost by 9 points. But also, on the other hand, they could have won it, so there's that. But, you know, I think with Depot back in the starting lineup, at least you'll get Stevenson will get some more chance. He'll get chances against weaker players on the bench. Yeah, I think the only good bench player I could really think of is maybe Ian Clark for the Pelicans, and that's not really saying much. Ian Clark probably isn't even a guy who should be playing as many minutes. I mean, against the Jazz, the Pelicans played Darius Miller 20 minutes, Ian Clark 19, Cheick Diallo 15, and DeAndre Liggins 19 or 14. So they just don't have a great bench, and that's why the Pacers have to exploit it and win, because I think starting-wise, the Pelicans have such a powerful, at least 1-2 punch with Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis, where they can maybe counter it and maybe make it a net even, and they could run away with the bench, you know, be a plus 10 on the bench with the bench guys. But, you know, I also see the Pelicans playing Davis 39, 40 minutes if they really think they have a shot at winning. They don't play again until Friday, I believe, so there's not that issue of a back-to-back. So just something to look towards. But something I do want to talk about also is the fact we saw it on Monday, and I think we could see some of it again on Wednesday, and that's the Al Jefferson, Domantas Sabonis bench double plotter lineup. It was really interesting to me that these two guys came out and played together because they had pretty good chemistry, and Jefferson did a pretty good job as a facilitator. So really, Jefferson played more of the power forward at times, it seemed like. There are two particular plays where Jefferson got the ball at the top of the left key. Sabonis then went into the post, and Jefferson passed it to him, and Sabonis scored. And really, like, nice plays, which you don't see a lot. I like that kind of style. I think it works in limited capacity. You know, when Miles Turner was in foul trouble, you're trying to steal minutes with Jefferson, basically, and it worked. It honestly worked. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go to that a couple more times. I'm not sure Jefferson's going to play more than 10 minutes anymore a game if Turner can stay out of foul trouble. But, you know, if the Jefferson Sabonis lineup works for 3 minutes a game, it's something to look towards because it gives the Pacers another dimension on their offense, you know, another way to kind of throw teams off. Because I don't think a lot of teams are prepared to guard both Jefferson and Sabonis size-wise, and especially two guys who can pass the ball back, who are willing to pass the ball back into the post. You're talking about like two guys who play center who are good facilitators who are willing to go back into the post. So something to look towards is if the Pacers run that Jefferson Sabonis thing again. But for the Pelicans game, I imagine it's going to be a close one. Pacers play most of their games pretty close. I think if Depot plays, they win. If he doesn't play, obviously, I think they lose. I really hope Oladipo's back just because, obviously, they're 0-7 without him, and he's the heart of this team. I think they can survive Collison's injury. I think this game went from more a lean Pacers to a toss-up with Collison's injury. I want to say it's going to be a close one, and somehow it's going to come down to either Davis winning the game or Depot winning the game. And it's not a home game, so that's always going to be tough for the Pacers to close it out. They seem to be better at winning close home games than close road games. So, you know, the pessimist in me says probably the Pelicans win 105-103. But it could be the reverse for all I know. It's going to be a close one is all I know. And it's going to be a good one and a fun one to watch. The next topic I want to hit is one that is circulating around Pacers Twitter and this trade deadline. And after another just terrible performance, I can call it terrible. Miles Turner was just so bad on Monday. 2 of 5, constantly in foul trouble, got 23 minutes, but was constantly playing with 3 fouls, which is completely hinders his game because if he has 3 fouls, he can't, or is always in foul trouble, he can't protect the rim at the way he would because he is afraid of drawing that next foul, which he ultimately ends up drawing. He's getting some bad whistles in his defense. The refs are really not letting him get away with anything. Any little touch of the arm or anything where he doesn't go completely straight up and sometimes even call for fouls when he goes straight up. So I'll give him that. He is being officiated a little weirdly. Hopefully that changes. I would like to see Turner officiated more like Roy Hibbert used to be, where if he goes straight up, you don't call a foul. But they're calling him for fouls. They're calling him for little tic-tac fouls. I mean, Embiid did a nice job drawing him into fouls on Saturday. So, you know, I'll give him big credit for that. But Turner has been bad, and people are talking about, well, he hasn't really made the third-year jump. You know, what's his ceiling now? Is he going to be – could he be a superstar still? You know, I even brought it up on the Monday podcast that maybe you look about trading Turner. I mean, what's the market for him, a young guy who people think is going to be really good? Could you really sell high on him right now? Now, that was more just a tease and more of a – to see the reaction that Tony would give, not necessarily what I was thinking or what I want. I think Turner is still the building block that you – can win a championship on. If the Pacers plan on winning a championship or competing for a championship the next 3 to 5 years, it's going to be on Turner and Oladipo's backs. So that being said, I want to just defend Turner for like 2 solid minutes. One thing on Turner's defense is he hasn't made that third-year leap because he's constantly been dealing with these kind of almost flukish injuries. So the first game of the season, he gets a concussion. Now, you can debate what concussions are flukes or whatever, but most NBA players don't get concussions. It's pretty rare in the NBA to see concussions, and he got one within the first game that threw him off. He didn't get any chemistry for it. He was out for 2 whole weeks. He missed 7 games. It screwed up everything. Then he has this fluke injury with his elbow where he dunks it too hard, where you don't really ever see that happen. I mean, it's another really rare injury is a UCL injury or the Tommy John area. On an NBA player, it's these two injuries where you are more common in football and baseball than they are in the NBA, and he got them. And so it just threw him off. Now, that's no excuse for, you know, his post game isn't where we thought it would be. I thought he was working on it off season. It's really not there. His post defense isn't where it should be at this point, we think. But we got to remember, he's super young. I think he'll be 22 in March, so he's still extremely young, and he's dealing with injuries. He has some sore right knees. Like, it's just these little things that I think if he can – last year he put together 82 straight healthy games or 81 games he played, and he played really well. I think that's what you need from a guy like him, which you would hope, because there were so many flukes this year and nothing seems like it's a major injury, that next season, after he has a full off season of, again, training, and then he gets a full season under him without having any of, I mean, you know, maybe he'll miss 5 to 7 games. That's normal for a player, but to miss, already have missed 16 games, and he only 55 played, or they played, so it's just been a fluky year for him. And even when he does play, you look at it, he's having his best defensive season. He has his block percentage is up, his assist percentage is up, his per 33 shooting or per 36 shooting is the best it's ever been. So it's not like he's worse. The only thing worse in his game this year is technically his overall shooting percentage is down about a point or two, but it's because he's shooting more threes. He's shooting better from three than he did last season, so it's not like he's worse there. He's just shooting more like 2 to 3 threes a game instead of 1 to 2. I mean, he's shooting 35% from three versus 34 last season. So overall, he hasn't really dropped. He's just sort of, maybe you would say, plateaued, and you could easily justify that plateau by his injuries, by his constantly being in and out of the lineup. You know, it's hard. You know, you, as an NBA player, especially when the Pacers brought a whole new team in, you have to build chemistry with a whole new set of guys. I think, you know, he's doing his best to fit in. He's not, you know, demanding it's his team, and he's being a team player, and all the things you like from a guy that you say he's got all the off the court attributes. It's like, he's a good guy. He cares, only cares about winning. He's a good teammate. He's all this stuff. He's good. He's been good to the community, doing a lot of community service. So he's got all that for him. And I think it'll eventually get put together. You know, I think this season he might not reach the level we think he's going to reach, but I think next year there's a distinct possibility, if he puts together some post game, can get a little bit better in space on defense, that he could make that actual leap that we're all expecting. You know, I don't think he's ever going to make the leap to a 25-point-a-game guy, just because the way the offense is set up right now, it's set up for Oladipo to get 25, you know, for the guards to succeed in some sense, because they play so fast that it's set up for guards to get, you know, lots of open threes and lots of chances going to the rim. But if Turner can be an 18 points on 12 shots a game, like a super efficient 18 points a game, that's really good. And if he's 18 points, and let's say 18 points, 8 rebounds, and the leading shot blocker, like, that's really good. And that's the kind of guy who can win a championship, because, you know, and he can be the guy at times. So, you know, we see with Roy Hibbert, where Roy Hibbert never had, like, that great regular season run. But in the postseason, you know, when you had the matchup advantage, you fed him. He had constantly had 25 and 30-point games in the playoffs because he had the matchup advantage. And that could be kind of Turner's destiny, where he never becomes a 20-point-a-game guy. But in the playoffs, because he has a matchup advantage, he can be the 25-point-a-game guy in the playoffs. Something just to look towards. I think, you know, he's had two bad games now. Let's calm down. They're without their two starting guards on Monday's game. So that throws everybody off. It's just a different way, different for every starter, different to play with Lance Stevens and Corey Joseph in the starting lineup instead of Victor and Collison. It just is. And then he got, you know, Embiid did a nice job drawing him on fouls Saturday. That was it. But he's playing pretty well the three games before then. So let's calm down on Turner, you know, ever not reaching that kind of level, because I think he is still, at his worst, is an elite defender, and at his best can be one of, be a number two option scoring wise, and again, an elite defender. So I'm preaching patience on Miles Turner. That's all I got for you today on today's Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll be back again on Thursday. Tony and I are going to either post our rest of the week preview on Thursday or Friday. You'll find out, I guess, on Thursday. Probably on Thursday, but you'll find out then. You can follow me at FreemanAdam5. You can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers. You can follow my other co-host, who's not on today's show, but will be on later this week, Tony East at TEastNBA. That's all I got for today. It's Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day.